You are listening to episode 1 of the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Welcome to Drunk Sex, celebrating the fun, hysterical, messy, and sometimes tragic aspects of sex. You'll hear it all. Stories, tips, tricks, challenges, whatever you're into, we've got you covered. So crack open your favorite beverage and join your host, Jen Wadkey, for the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Now I am drinking a super high-end bottle of wine, California Red, cupcake brand. I just need to have a grape varietal. They have red velvet written there instead. I'm pretty sure red velvet is not a grape varietal. Is it delicious? It gets the job done. So today we are going to talk about masturbation, which really is one of my favorite things. And I'm not joking when I say that. I masturbate when I'm bored, when I'm horny, when I'm lonely, when I'm tired, when I need a shot of energy, when I'm in pain. It really is a cure-all. And what I love about it is that it's a selfish activity, but it's a kind selfish activity. You're taking the time to tune in to your own body, your own pleasure, what feels good, what you need in the moment, and God damn it, as much as we love our partners and our family and our friends and all the people around us, sometimes there is something so amazing about just tuning that all out and not having to worry about another person and just focusing on yourself and your pleasure, which is one of the most amazing things about masturbation. One of the most recent comments I read about masturbation came from Chris Donahue, who's a fantastic sex therapist. I'll link to him in the show notes. I'm totally paraphrasing, but he made the point that, you know, Sunday fun day can be sitting at home in your living room, watching a couple hours of football, drinking some beer, and just mindlessly doing that. And that's totally accepted. But if we think or know or suspect that somebody shut the door and spent 2 hours alone in the room diddling themselves, we might be a little judgmental about that. And that really is bullshit, because masturbation, actually, can we call it solo sexuality? Solo sexuality, I think, is much more accurate in that it is an element of our sexuality that we need. We do it alone is a better word. Solo sexuality really is fundamental to our overall sexuality and functioning and experience. And just taking that time to not perform sex, to not intellectualize sex, to just take a moment alone, that is gold. I also love that it is really a huge playground to play. There's nobody watching. It's just you and your thoughts. And thoughts are really important. Fantasy is really important. I've always been a really huge fantasizer. From the time I was a child, I would make up all these worlds and different personas for myself and role plays. And I really have always loved being in my head. And as I got older, this fantasizing took on a definite sexual element. And I've really been able to harness that in terms of setting up situations in my head that I probably would never do in real life. Some of them I would never do in real life. Some of them were fantasies, and then I did take them in to real life. But fantasy and masturbating is really great for a place to just explore and see how things feel and just go with what feels good with no judgment whatsoever. Nobody is policing your mind and your thoughts. So whatever you are thinking about, whatever gets you off, whatever does it for you is totally fine. Go with it. don't judge yourself. Just let it all flow. Another thing I want to destigmatize here is the very gendered view we often take about solo sexuality. A woman who has a nightside stand full of toys is considered liberal, open-minded, the kind of girl you want to sleep with. You find a fleshlight in a guy's nightside table, and there might be a significantly different type of judgment. For those of you who don't know, a fleshlight is basically a flashlight with the inside hollowed out and instead replaced with a silicone insert that simulates any number of things, a mouth with a tongue, a vagina, what have you. And we really do, I find it really interesting, we really do look at a man having that kind of toy and a woman having that kind of toy very different and very judgmentally. So I suggest that we release that, especially given the taboo around male masturbation in terms of using a toy. If you find yourself at a guy's house and he's got a fleshlight, I would suggest he might be a keeper. He's open-minded, probably interested in new experiences, thinking outside the box. So instead of thinking of that guy as somebody who lives in his mom's basement and can't get a date or laid, let's flip that and acknowledge that a guy with a fleshlight is probably a guy that's in tune with his own pleasure. And whenever somebody is in tune with their own pleasure, they're going to be more in tune with yours. The second myth I want to address when we talk about solo sexuality is its relationship to people who are coupled. This is an interesting thing to me. I know that there are people out there who think if you're in a happy relationship and you're having sex, there should no longer be a need to masturbate. And that's not true. It really is, as I said, solo sexuality. It is an element of your sexuality that you experience on your own and is a great place to live and play. So if your partner is masturbating, it doesn't mean that they're not interested in you. It doesn't mean that they would rather fuck themselves over you. It really just means that they want to take a moment and be selfish in the best, glorious, most possible way, selfish with their sexuality. So let that go. Flip side to that is people who don't masturbate so much. By the same token, that shouldn't be judged either. Different people have different needs and desires and wants for their solo sexuality. And I want to emphasize that it really is a solo activity. And let your partner do what they need to do and demand that they give you the same back, that they don't judge you for what you might be doing solo. It really is an element that we all need and should cultivate maybe a little bit more than we do. And it should be given a little bit more credence than it is in our society. We often sometimes shit on masturbation. And I remember hearing stories that if you do it too much, you're going to go blind. You're not going to go blind. Oh, you're not going to get calluses on your fingers. You're going to be fine. So I want to illustrate a little bit by sharing my masturbatory story. I shared it with a friend over Happy Hour the other day, and she sort of lost her shit and then yelled at me that I needed to share it with my audience. So I'm going to do that. I remember I was 17. Part of me is like, that's old, but is it? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that I touched my genitals before that. And I'm sure that I had horny wantings and feelings that I didn't know what to do with before that. But I remember 17 as the time that I knew that I was masturbating for a purpose, which was orgasm. I needed that release, wanted that feeling. And I didn't have any toys at 17. Most 17-year-olds don't. So I used what was in hand. I have one of those old, they look like those smelly markers, like those thick highlighters. I used the edge of a highlighter. For the first time, thinking back, I wanted an implement. Not that I never used my hand, but I wanted something. I didn't want to use my hand. I wanted to feel like something was being done to me. So I had this marker that I used and stealthily washed in the kitchen sink. And it worked, and it was fine. But, you know, you can never let your orgasm expression fully go when you're 17 years old and living at home with your parents, and there are always people in the house. So for a long time, I squelched my vocal responses, and that was fine. I didn't really think about it. That was just something that I had to do, and whatever. Then my life changed. When I was, 22, 23 or something like that, I was living in Japan and I had this shower head. Yes, ladies, some of you know the power of the shower head and some of you don't. And if you don't, I suggest if you have a removable shower head, you might want to try that the next time you have some alone time in the tub or shower, because it's glorious. So that was my second new device or way to masturbate. And then I flipped between that and my hand and kind of got along with my hand from 25 till quite old, actually. I had a couple of friends who didn't believe I didn't have a vibrator, and I was like, I have a hand, I have a shower head, and that was fine. And then I thought, I might be missing out. So I did go to the store and then I bought some toys, and that opened up my world. I wish I had more direction when I was buying my first toy, but I didn't. And I just went in and bought what looked interesting to me. And that was kind of the third implement. And that also kept me going for a while. And my style was always the same. It was always on my back with whatever I was using, my hand, a marker, a cheap vibrator that I had bought. But that was always how I did it. And then I was studying sexuality in San Francisco, and one of our homework assignments was to masturbate in a new way. So I had actually won a bullet vibrator at a local sex shop. So I used that for my homework. And the new thing that I did was that I didn't actually let myself come. And then I had to share the story in school the next day and listen to everybody else's story, which was super fantastic. Really an experience that opened my mind, because I realized that I had been doing it wrong. Not doing it wrong in the sense that you can ever masturbate wrong, but doing it wrong in the sense that I had been doing it the same. So from there, that's when I started experimenting with, laying on my back and my side and my front and, maybe playing music in the background and maybe instead of still squelching my vocalizations, letting them full force. So that moment was when I really started to realize that there was this whole world of solo sexuality that I needed to explore. And then my mind exploded. I bought the Isla from Lilo. I think I was 30. I want to say it was like 34, 35. And just playing with it externally, it is meant for internal penetration, but I wasn't using it that way. It was just a wand. It didn't have a clit stimulator. It was just basically like a curved stick. Much to my chagrin, I shouldn't say that. I had actually been thinking about squirting, and I knew that I had the potential. I knew that it was shutting it off, but I was always a little bit nervous about doing it with a partner. And what shocked me was alone, entirely external stimulation, squirting. Whew, That was mind-boggling. So once I learned how to squirt, that gave me a whole new level of control in my sexual responses and what I could communicate to a partner. And it really made me realize that I had been limiting myself and that there were vast sexual worlds out there. So I kept, you know, using toys, and I kept, you know, having partners as well. You know, talking about your own masturbation, it seems so normal to you. But I forget that there was one thing that I knew I was doing that probably most people didn't. And it was that I never had the desire to actually penetrate myself with any of these toys. And the one or two times I tried it really briefly, I didn't like it. And I made up all this shit in my head about why it was legit not to do it. It's like, I'm reserving my pussy for skin because it feels so much better. And I like the pressure of a man on top of me as opposed to just a vibrator that I'm pushing into myself. And on and on and on, I made up all these excuses. Well, it was only a little more than a year ago. Actually, not quite a year ago. I was living in Japan and I wanted to play with some long distance partners. So I bought Lush by Love Ants, which is still hands down my absolute favorite toy for women. I will put a link in the show notes. But I bought it because it could be controlled from anywhere in the world. And I thought that sounded amazing. And it wasn't this huge, ridiculous toy. Like a lot of wand stimulators and dildos can kind of look really quite intimidating. So this was kind of just a bulb, which was the insertable portion. It looks basically like a U-shape or a sperm almost. So it's got that bulb and then it's got this long, essentially tail that curves up. So you insert the bulb portion and then the wand is curved so that it lays against your belly and your clit, and then you can manipulate it from there. That was the first time, less than a year ago, you guys, that I actually inserted a toy. And I was, I'm going to tell you how old I am. I was 41 when I first penetrated myself with a toy. And holy shit, mind blown. I went, how the fuck have I not done this prior? Like, it was super crazy, insanely good, fantastic, totally different orgasm, totally different sensation. So that experience really brought home to me that I need to continue to expand my solo sexuality. And most likely, you might want to do the same. If we can grow in our solo sexuality, new sensations, new styles, new positions, new environment, that will really let us grow and expand so that we can have better sex when we are partnered. We can respond better to a partner if we've trained ourselves alone to respond to various stimuli. And I do want to say, after that insertion a year ago, I have continued to experiment with the things that I want to try and do alone when I'm masturbating. And it's now, on a good day when I have time, it's a 1 or 2 hour set aside odyssey. And it is time better spent than watching any TV or reading a book or what have you. So if you want to expand your masturbatory repertoire, what are some of the things you can do? Well, first off, switch up your implement, your hand, a toy, variety of toys, what have you. Change it up regularly. Then you also want to change the speed. Go fast, go slow, pause, start over, fast, slow, pause, or any combination of speeds. Pressure, firm grip, firm touch, light grip, light touch, play with that as well. And when you're trying some of these new ideas in your solo sexuality, if you don't come the first time, that's fine. That is nothing to freak out about. In fact, I would encourage you, if you can't come from new stimulation, that suggests that you might be a little bit too set in your solo sexuality rut. So if you can't come, that's fine. Keep at it. Train yourself. And it's not going to be an easy thing to retrain yourself, but keep masturbating as much as you can with a variety of styles and environments. And eventually your body's going to decide that it wants to come so much that it will respond to the new stimuli you're providing. So you can't break yourself out of a rut. Also, new environments. If it's always, you know, a quiet, dark bedroom with the door shut, change that up. Put on a CD, leave the door open, move to the bathroom, move to the backyard or wherever you feel comfortable enough that you can masturbate and get where you need to go. Another great element of solo sexuality is that you can take it into partnered solo sexuality, mutual masturbation. Why is this fantastic? Having the opportunity to watch your partner pleasure themselves and learn how they do it, what they like, their speeds, their micro movements is an amazing lesson. And I find it super hot whenever I come across a partner who's willing to just let me watch. And conversely, when a partner wants to watch you do it, I know sometimes that we can get in our heads and we get wound up and sometimes we can't come when there's an audience, but don't get freaked out about that. Just take it as another, you know, tweak to your solo sexuality that, you know, you need to work on a little bit. And even if the first time you let your partner watch, you can't get off, that's still fine. They're still watching what works for you, even if you can't get there because you're a bit nervous. And then you can talk about it. The conversations you can have about that are amazing. There's also something really glorious about just sitting side by side and masturbating yourself and hearing your partner and smelling your partner and seeing your partner out of the corner of the eye. That's super hot. It's safe sex. It really is safe if you limit it to mutual masturbation. No worries about STIs or pregnancies. It is a great element to add to your sexual repertoire. So now I'm going to get into a portion that might make some of my listeners uncomfortable, because I am going to be talking about teenagers and sexuality, and specifically solo sexuality. Oh, what the fuck, right? But it's actually such an important conversation if you have children. Now, God, I can't imagine anything more uncomfortable than talking to your kids about masturbation. I get it. You don't want to do that. But you know what? Nobody else is going to talk to them about it. So in the show notes, I've made a little cheat sheet that you could print and leave on your child's bed if they're of an age where they're starting to masturbate and it freaks you out a little bit and you want to give them a bit of guidance without being like a creepy parent and shit. I've made a little note. So check the show notes for that. But this, if you're a younger adult or, you know, new to sexuality or still honing your own solo sexuality, which is totally fine. A lot of us don't really get into our groove until quite a bit later. There are some rules, and I say rules in air quotes because sexuality, nothing is carved in stone. But here's some guidance to growing some masturbatory habits that will really make you better as an individual sexually and make you a better sexual partner. So the first one I already touched on, change your position every now and then. On your back, on your front, on your side, standing, sitting. Change the speed and intensity of stimulation. Go fast, go slow, go light, go hard, change it up, change it up, change it up. The other thing, you don't have to masturbate to orgasm every time. Sometimes just connecting with your genitals and connecting with the pleasure and the sensations that you feel of your hands on your body is enough. And if you are shifting your masturbatory habits, you might not be able to get yourself to orgasm the first few times that you're changing things up. That's just fine. Keep with it. Eventually, your body will adjust because your body fundamentally wants pleasure and wants to come. If you are young, you know, teenager, early 20s, keep your masturbation sessions in check. Not more than 10 times a day. You're not going to hurt yourself. You're not going to break anything. But you also don't want to completely drain your energy. And I mean that for males and females. Constantly orgasming and outputting can, in some people, depending on how you're wired, drain your energy instead of invigorating you. So keep that in mind. The other piece that is on this little cheat sheet that you might want to leave for your teen are the following lessons, if you will. Masturbation is normal. Everyone masturbates. Number two, you also want them to know that using household items can be dangerous. Do not use household items. Give them an Amazon gift card. Let them buy what they need. Please, for the love of God, do not MacGyver up sex toys. That can go so wrong so quickly. Tell your teen that you will stock wet wipes, lubes, condoms, and that you will not ask questions when these supplies are low. You will just make sure that they are there. They're embarrassed to buy it. They're embarrassed to ask for it. They will use it. So please, parents, just keep that stocked. It's good for your teen. It's good for their sexual growth. So I hope that I've given you some new ideas to expand your own solo sexuality and by extension, your sexuality with a partner. Always looking forward to hearing what you think, thoughts, and ideas. So do drop me a line. Thanks for listening, everyone.
This has been the Drunk Sex Podcast with Jen Wodkey. For more sex talk, head over to the Jen Wodkey Facebook group or check out jenwodkey.com. Till next time, happy boozing and sexing.